It seemed obvious that we were going to talk together here in the yeshiva while I'm here for a few moments. There's nothing else on anyone's mind. There's nothing else. There shouldn't be anything else on anyone's mind. There's only one thing that's going on in the world right now, and that's the melchama in Eretz Yisrael, the Holocaust that preceded it, and the melchama that persists now. So maybe one perspective. I know that Rav Tversky Shlita spoke in yeshiva last week, and he told me on the phone that he had mentioned at least one of these ideas. It happens to be, even if you think by looking at the Makoros sheets, it's what he spoke about. First of all, you should know that I don't think I've ever said anything that isn't somehow from him. So it's not like I've come up with anything on my own in my life ever. But I think the angle we're going to take is going to be a shade that won't be too repetitive from what you've heard already. So if some of it's Chazara, that's not so bad. It's not such a bad thing. But some of it, I think, will be a perspective that's worth internalizing, that's worth working on. I think it has application for how we're supposed to be dealing with what's happening now around the world. So if you look in source number one, you have the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. This, for sure, Rav Tversky has quoted over the last 2 weeks. Mi'al yisha yarei v'rach levav kimashmo. So the Rambam assumes, she'en b'li b'koch lamad b'kishrei melchama, that someone who's fearful, that has a certain trepidation of entering into a war, into the battlefield, so he's not roy, he's not fit to be one of the chayalim who fights in the Tzva Hashem, who fights in the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Such a soldier is not roy l'chach. If you keep reading in the Rambam here, you'll notice that the Rambam thinks there's an isser to have fear during a melchama. That is a very fascinating perspective. Rashi al Torah takes that approach as well. I believe in Parshas Ekev, he has that approach as well, that there's an isser to have fear when you go into a melchama. The Sforno mitigates that a little bit. The Sforno diminishes that, the sharpness of that. This falls into the classic question of the Ibn Ezra and others who talk about how it's possible ever for the Torah to command on feelings, on emotions, the most basic of which is Ahavas Hashem, the most famous of which is Lo Sachmod, to not feel jealous of another person's belongings. How can the Torah command us to feel or not to feel certain ways? You have to take and apply the Beis Halevi's famous mashal for the answer Lo Sachmod and see how if that's applicable to V'Ahavta Hashem Lekecha, see if that's applicable in our case. But either way, the Rambam is unique in the sense that he has two things. He has, first of all, an isser of yira, but second of all, he says, not only is there an isser of yira, but even if a person is fully boteach, I mean, the Sforno, I think, mitigates it by saying, you have a mitzvah to have bitachon, and then a person sometimes feels fear in tandem with bitachon. The two are not austere to each other. Bitachon hopefully overpowers, but there's a sense of trepidation and awe as well. The Rambam seems to telegraph over here that he thinks, even with bitachon, even the full confidence that we're going to win, maybe even a full confidence that the person's going to go back to his family, even so, fear is usher. You're not allowed to feel that emotion of fear. It's a fascinating, it's ironically a scary notion that the Rambam's presenting to us, the amount of self-control a person has to have, and the heaviness, the weightiness of the task at hand, which we'll get to in a moment, B'nei Nedar Mirtz Hashem, that causes such a halacha to exist, such a mitzvah to exist. I believe that the Stipler Gaon has a short essay about this, if you want to look, and blinking now on the name of the Sefer, Birchas Peretz, is it Sefer on Chumash? So I think in Birchas Peretz, probably there in Parshas Ekev, or in thereabouts in those Parshios, he has a short essay about this sheet of the Rambam. Okay, that's the Rambam over here. Now in the bold. Once the soldier gathers himself, he collects himself, he's able to be mizgaber on the natural feeling of fear, of being scared, he enters into the battlefront. Yishan al mikveh Yisrael. Umoshio be'es tzara. He should rely on, he should, you know, feel dependent upon, he should be totally, you know, confident in the mikveh Yisrael, the hope of HaKadosh, the hope of Yisrael, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Umoshio, the one who saves him, be'es tzara, the yeda, he should realize, she'al yichud Hashem, hu osa milchama. That this battle, this war that he's fighting is al yichud Hashem. It's a fight for, it's a defense of the unification of God's name, of Yichud Hashem. The Rambam continues to describe what we spoke about previously. And the Rambam says, and if a person properly internalizes and expresses these beliefs by entering a battle in such a way, Tiyeh kavanoso l'kadesh es Hashem bilvad. If he has the kavana, he has the thought process, he has the intent, simply, exclusively, that he's fighting for a Kiddush Hashem, then he'll have the Havtacha of safety, then he'll have the Havtacha of returning to his family, of saving Klal Yisrael from whatever impending doom they might be facing. Yichud Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, those two, we don't have time now to spend on exactly how, but those two flow into each other. There's a lot of overlap between the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem and the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, not the least of which is the fact that the Rambam understands both of them in the Sefer Mitzvos to be mitzvos not only internally, but also mitzvos klape chutz, mitzvos which are supposed to be expressed publicly, declared, publicized to the people. Kiddush Hashem is a mitzvah that's not only supposed to be internal, but it's actually supposed to be something which we express to the rest of the world. The values of Kiddush Hashem, the idea of Mesiras Nefesh, the reason we're being Moser Nefesh, all those things have to be articulated. There are Gemaras that support this for another time. That's Kiddush Hashem. Yichud Hashem is very clear in the Rambam as well, in Sefer Mitzvos, that it involves declaring to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We'll see soon some iterations of this. So that's the Rambam here in Hilchos Melachim. Now it's very moving, it's a pump-up speech, it's meaningful, but it's sort of meaningless, unless you have the context of source number two, which is the Rambam Nigeres Taman. I've learned a few times with people over the last week and a half, however long it's been already. My wife was picking up my son from yeshiva on Friday, and the Rebbe said to my wife, it's sort of like, you can't really say how are you these days, not making fun, meaning you really can't. If someone says, how are you? The answer is not great. Holding up. As good as could be expected. But there's no, how are you? So I don't think she asked, how are you? I think they both shared a look of, you know, shared despondence, shared concern and confidence and hope. And the Rebbe said to my wife, my son's Rebbe, which is, I think, a wonderful line that's very expressive of what we're going through. He said, what a long year this week has been. What a long year this week has been. So I don't remember how many times I've spoken or how many weeks it's been, but however long it's been, I had the unfortunate occasion of being on a plane last week as well for a Levaya. So when I fly in the red eye. I get in the morning. This morning I got in early, and then I work during the day, and then I usually go back that night. Here in this instance, I'm staying 2 days. So I came in for a Levaya last week, so I had time on the plane. So I took with me Igeres Taman because of its relevance. And I'm not exaggerating when I say it was written, 850 years ago, 860 years ago? I forget the exact date. 850 years ago. It literally could have been written last week. Igeres Taman of the Rambam could have been written last week. It's unbelievable. You have to take time to read it. B'nai Torah should have extra time. I've been telling Balabatim to read it, and I realize that's can't necessarily expect them to do it. But you guys should take a moment to find an Igeres Taman and read it through. It's not so long. It speaks to us in 2023 and the matzah we're going through. It's a Peledic letter. It's mamish, so helpful, so enlightening, so deep and so meaningful. Igeres Taman, for those of you who don't know the context, so Taman in the Jewish community in Yemen, they were experiencing a sort of shmad by the hands of the Ishmaelim, the Arabs who were dominating that land at the time, who were trying, it was a religious persecution, but it certainly involved saros that were of the physical nature as well. And they reached out to the Rambam. There was also a false messiah running around at the same time, not unrelated. And they reached out to the Rambam for chizuk. So he sent back this letter, Igeres Taman, as a letter of chizuk. The alternative name for the Igeres Taman is Pesach Tikva, Igeres Pesach Tikva. Not because it has anything to do with living in Eretz Yisrael, because it was a Pesach of Tikva. It was an attempt of the Rambam to open up their hearts to have a little bit of hope and a little bit more of a stronger attachment to the Emunah that they so desperately needed during the time they were going through. So in source number two, you have a clip from there where the Rambam says, De'u, you should realize, we won't read it entirely inside, but we'll see like this, Shebet Torah Hazos, our Torah, Hivdilanu Habore Mishar B'nei Olam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by giving us the Torah, in giving us the Torah, in His Torah, He separated us, He selected us from all of the nations. We're the Ama Nivchar. We're the Ama Nivchar. V'hizbara ma'alaseinu azulaseinim b'chlalosav uv'mishpatav. Our uniqueness, our higher level, our elevation is expressed through its overall values, its general meaning of the Torah, and through the laws of the Torah. Those set us apart from the rest of the world. The Rambam explains here that it's not because we deserved it. It's not because we were extra special. This is a question the Ramban already talks about in Parshas Lech Lecha, why exactly HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avraham Avinu. So here, I didn't put it in the copy, but it's in the dot, dot, dot somewhere. The Rambam deals with whether Avraham Avinu was unique and therefore deserved to be Nivchar, deserved to be chosen, or whether there's some other reason he was chosen. But either way, Klal Yisrael were chosen, through the Avos we were chosen. And he says, Kina'unu ovde avodezara kulam al dhasenu kina gdola. The rest of the world is extremely jealous. They wish they could have what we have. They see an Ama Nivchar and they're Nebuch. They feel left out. They feel like we got picked first in gym class and they got left on the side and they're sitting on the bench. Uratzonam li lachim b'Hashem, ulasos meriva imo. They want to undermine the Torah. They want to undermine the Ribono Shel Olam himself, Rachman al Islam. Elamai v'Elokim, who? Umi Yarevlo. He's God. despite what a couple of characters in the upcoming Parsha are going to tell you, you can't climb a tower and fight against the Ribono Shalom. It's not possible. So the Goyim look, and they see this Ribono Shalom is so powerful, he made the wrong choice by choosing the Jews. We hate the Torah, we hate the fact that it picks the Jews. Let's destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what are we supposed to do? We can't fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so let's fight his nation. Let's attack Klal Yisrael. Ve'ein lecha zman me'az she'nitna lanu Torah zo adzman inu zeh. There was no point in history she'kol melech obed avodah zarah gover omachri omezgaber o ones. Any time in history that any Goyish king, any Goyish general, any Goyish army tried to destroy us in any way whatsoever, there was never a point she'in tchilas kavanaso v'daito listor terasenu ulahapech dasenu be'ones benitzachnu v'cherev. There was never a point where the point of that war was not specifically and exclusively to destroy the Torah, to attack the Ribono Shel Olam himself. That was always and will always be the kavana of every single Jewish enemy throughout history. That's what the Rambam tells us. And all of a sudden, the words in Hilchos Malachim are a little bit brighter, a little bit lighter, no? They shine a little bit more clearly. The Rambam's telling us that when a Jew goes to war, when a chayal puts on that uniform, takes his M16, and hopefully if we send enough money, bulletproof vests, and he walks into Gaza Strip, he's fighting Al Yichud Hashem. Because this war is not about territory. It's not about humanitarian rights. It's not about the Golan Heights. It's not about a Suez Canal in 50 years ago. It's about Hashem. It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about defending the fact, the promise, and the truth that we're the chosen people, because we're defending the person, the superhuman, the super being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Supreme, who chose us to be his people with a capital H. That's what the war is about. That's what it's always been about. That's what it will always be about. Shal Yichud Hashem Hu Oseh Milchama. The Rambam says, that's what you're fighting for. Yichud Hashem. To unify the name of God in this world. If you look in source number 3, you have a little bit later in the same Igaris, in Igaris Teman, Lefichach, he says, Achenu kol Yisrael nefutzim bekitzvos haaretz, our job, our mission, sort of the call of the hour, chayovim atem lechazeh k'tzaschem lek'tzaschem. So Lashon he uses a lot of times. The Rambam says, you have a chiyuv, you have an obligation to be mechazek each other, to strengthen each other in these ideas, bold, ulaharim kolchem be'emuna. If you recall before, we said it's not just about belief, Yichud Hashem, it's also about declaring, publicizing that belief. Here the Rambam says it as well. Laharim kolchem be'emuna. To scream it from the rooftops. To display to the public our deep and abiding faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unfaltering, unwavering faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shelo tipo la'olam v'lo tishaches. It will never fall. It will never be destroyed. V'hu lo dia l'rabim. And that is to express to the public, listen closely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hu echad v'lo kishar ha'achadim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. Otherwise known as declaring Hashem's oneness is called Yichud Hashem. Yichud Hashem. Again, the Rambam is coming back to this concept of Yichud Hashem. Now, it's true, the Rambam in the ellipses over here, he's going to continue and say that there are other things we have to strengthen our emunah in as well. First of all, he spends a lot of time in the Igaris Teman, there's a separate discussion why he does this, focusing on Maimon Har Sinai, the experience of Matan Torah, and how important, how pivotal and crucial it is as the basis of our emunah. That's an important point. He also focuses on the belief in Moshe Rabbeinu as the true Adon HaNeviim, the reason being that it was an Islamic persecution. They claim there was a Muhammad that came and outdid Moshe Rabbeinu, so we have to strengthen our emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu. And he talks about two or three of the Ikari emunah. But as you saw in the Yad, and you saw in the beginning of the Igaris, and you saw here at this point in the Igaris, there's a certain stress, there's a certain focus, a hyper-focus on Yichud Hashem. Yichud Hashem could have been, you know, denoting the generality of Yud Gimel Ikrim. Yichud Hashem means a collection of all of the principles, the fundamental principles of faith that tell us who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and how he interacts with us. But it's clear from the wording and it's clear from the context in Igaris Teman that the Rambam has a very specific focus here on the second of the 13 Ikarim, on the Ikar of Yichud Hashem, of unifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God being one in this world. Elamai, you could have thought, right? Otherwise, you could have thought, I don't know, the Muslims are attacking us, let's say in Yemen, in the 12th century. The Muslims are attacking us. So what are they attacking? They're attacking our emunah. They hate Hashem. They hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ha'lo mesanecha Hashem esna. They hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fine, so they're attacking our religion. Which Ikar emunah are they attacking? Well, they're attacking the first Ikar, because they're displaying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have been Mamsi Kol Nimsa, but that was just a temporary thing. Or maybe he wasn't Mamsi Kol Nimsa. Some of the wars have been about that. Sure, Yichud Hashem as well, the second Iker. I don't know, but aren't they also claiming there's no Schar Ba'onesh? I mean, Rahman al-Islam, when a world sees 1,400 innocent people slaughtered in a gruesome way, do you think some of them have questions about Schar Ba'onesh? That good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people? It doesn't really look like that when you go through a matzav like we went through last week. They're certainly attacking Torah min HaShemayim. They're saying that the Torah isn't genuine, isn't lasting, isn't nitzchi, Rahman al-Islam. I mean, they're attacking a whole bunch of Ikari Emunah. I think there are people who would argue that it's hard to imagine a Mashiach when you see a Klal Yisrael that's so despondent, so down. The argument is wrong, and it's actually, the Rambam addresses this, it's the opposite. The lower we go, the closer we are. That's for another time. But every one of the Ikari Emunah is at stake over here. Every one of the bits and pieces that make up our belief system are at stake when we're being attacked, when we're being destroyed, when we're being fought against in a war. So why is Ram so focused, so homed in on this specific second Iker of Yichud Hashem? So maybe if we take a few moments that we have together to just try to understand what the Yichud Hashem Iker really means, what that principle really means according to the Shitas HaRambam, what is it that Yichud Hashem really represents? Maybe if we have that perspective, it will shed a little bit of light on this focus that we're supposed to apparently, based on the Rambam, have during the time of Shmad and during the time of Machama. So what is Yichud Hashem? So simply translated, it means God is one. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the source for the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem as well as the Ikar Emunah of Yichud Hashem. So God is one. If you look in source number 4, you have the Chinuch. The Chinuch of the Smak says this as well in his second mitzvah, in his count. They both say that the mitzvah is simple as it sounds. There are religions that believe that there are multiple gods. There are polytheistic religions. There are even religions that believe that there's one God, but somehow that one God has three parts, which are really one. The Rambam makes fun of it in Mor Nevuchim. It is taka kind of funny. It's hard to imagine how something could be multiple and one all at the same time. There's such a thing as believing in God and believing in things that work in tandem with God, called Shita, right? There are many ways to split up into a polytheistic or sub-polytheistic religion that are possible. Says the Chinuch, says the Smak, the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, the mitzvah of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, to the Miyachid Shem Shemayim, means to believe that there is one God, that there's one Ribbono Shalom. Very simple. Very, very simple, very basic understanding of what the mitzvah and the Ikar Emunah of Yichud Hashem really is. But if you look in the Rambam, it's not a diuk. It's obvious. It jumps off the page. There are diukim, which we'll hopefully neder Mir Hashem discuss, but the etzem yisod is not a diuk. It's obvious. The Rambam clearly doesn't understand that way. The Rambam has a much more profound, much more, I think, challenging, but much more, at the end of the day, relevant to what we're talking about, understanding, a sophisticated understanding of what the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, really is. So you look in source number 5. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisod de'Atorah. Elok hazeh, this God that we've been discussing until now, truth is, this source number 5, I didn't type by hand from a Frankel, so I'm not familiar, I won't catch any deviations, but you should double check, the girsas, but it's definitely close enough for what we're talking about. Elok hazeh, echad hu, I got it from the Bar Ilan. Elok hazeh, echad hu, he's one. So that's the chinuch and the smach, right? He's one God. Fine. But it's echad hu, ve'eno shnayim, ve'lo yeser al shnayim, ela echad. He's one. Not two, not three, one. She'en ki yichudu echad min ha'achad, nintzam ba'olam. You don't really know any comparative singularity. Bo echad kimin shu kol ha'achadim harbe, ve'lo echad ki gufshu nechlak machlokos ulik tzavos, ela yichud she'en yichud acher kamoza ba'olam. So the Rambam, he does it again. If you look in source number 6, this I did type from the Korach editions of the Perish Mishnayos, so this is by hand, so this is a correct nusach over here. The Rambam again says, V'hainu shezehu ilas hakol echad, lo ke'echad shel min, v'lo ke'echad shel sug, v'lo ke'prad echad amurkav shemizchag l'echadim rab, v'lo echad ke'guf ha'pashad, ha'echad b'minin, he's one of a kind, fine. So the Rambam here clearly is telling us that the one that we're supposed to apply to Hashem, or maybe say it better, the oneness that we're supposed to apply to Hashem is not the one that we're generally familiar with. But the Rambam says this in a very kind of almost humorous, backhanded way. I'll give it to you over with a mashal that I heard many years ago from my Rebbe. So let's say I tell you go to the supermarket and I want you to buy a bottle of milk for me. So I say, please, when you go to the supermarket, can you buy me one bottle of milk? Not two bottles of milk, not three bottles of milk, not four bottles of milk, one bottle of milk. So it will say, you just wasted not 1 second of mine, not 2 seconds of mine, not 3 seconds of mine. What are you telling me? One is not two, is not three. I know what one is. It's not two and it's not three. The Rambam goes out of his way here. It's Hashem is one, not two, not three, not more than that. He's one. Shkayach. But that's not even the mashal for what the Rambam did over here. You know what the mashal is for what the Rambam did over here? It's like this. Let's say I tell you to go to the supermarket. Can you pick something up for me? Sure. I'll pick up whatever you want for you. What do you want? Just get me not a bottle of milk, not a banana, not a box of cookies. So, what's missing? Yeah, but what do you want? No, but it's not this, it's not that, and it's not the other thing. I mean, if you say it enough times, by process of elimination, I'll buy you whatever's left in the store, I'll buy you some deodorant or something, but you didn't say anything. You didn't describe anything. Not this, not that, not that. It doesn't give me a definition. Says the Rambam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. Not two, not three. Shkayach, I know what one means. But then the Rambam says, no, by the way, by one, I don't mean anything that you're referring to. Not one like a species that has many different people. A lot of human, there's one human species, there's a lot of human beings. Not even one like a human being. One specific human being who has many limbs. Not even one like one entity, a chair which can be broken down into arms and legs and a plastic and a cushion. Not a table which is wood and metal. Not even a molecule which is broken down into atoms and whatever is smaller than atoms. So not even like any of those achduyos, of those onenesses that you're familiar with, none of those things are relevant when you're describing Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what is relevant, Rambam? You haven't described what Yichud Hashem means, no? All he did was tell us what Yichud Hashem is not, what Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is not. But what is it? What is the Echad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You hear the diyuk? So, Elamai, the Pshat is the Rambam saying that's exactly the point. That is the point he's trying to make. This one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't possibly describe it to you. I can tell it's not two, it's not three. It's not like a chair. It's not like a human being. It's not like a species. It's a oneness, she'ein kamohu. Yichud, she'ein yichud acher kamosa ba'olam. It's impossible to describe fully what this oneness really means. You look in the Mor Nevuchim, in the first Chelek, in Perek Nun, so he says some words that are relevant to our discussion here, but not for now to really spend time on breaking our teeth on it. But if you look in the words there, he talks about this point. The Rambam is telling us exactly what we were bothered by. That question that we had is itself the answer. The Rambam is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu's singularity is just that. It's singular. It's unique. Wholly unique. It's sui generis. It's impossible to pin that on anything in our world. It's not applicable. It's not something we have terms for in our world. So Rambam says, all I could do is try to show you what it's not. I think people are familiar probably with the theory of negative attribution, which may apply on some level to everything about God. But specifically here, because I can't describe it, I'll say everything else that it isn't. On a different level, this exists in the world of learning, as well as in the world of Machshava. The Maharal, in many places, I'm not personally such an expert in Maharal, but Rav Lopiansky has a book called Timepieces, the English book. So in his introduction, he quotes this from the Maharal, and since then I've stumbled upon it here or there accidentally. The Rambam, the Maharal has the following yisod. He says, whenever you want to try to understand something, this is such a yisod. Whenever you want to try to understand something, you need to try to define it and its opposite. Take that, it's in Machshava, take that and apply it to every sugya that you learn as well. Because that's exactly what analyzing a sugya is all about, what getting to the core of what din it is and what din it isn't, of where the halacha should apply, where it shouldn't apply. What are we talking about? And what's the opposite of what we're talking about? And when you start to understand the opposite of what you're talking about, you'll fully appreciate the subject that we're actually trying to study. Here, it's definitely a mashal, but it's not a good mashal, because here, the conclusion is not that we're going to understand. But the Rambam says, the only way I could possibly try to describe this is by describing what it's not. That's one level of explanation, but the Rambam says that's where it ends. That's the end of the line in terms of trying to describe Yichud Hashem. It's not about believing in one God. That's the first step. But it's about believing in the unique, singular oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that exists in no other form in our world. And a diuk nifla lechach, I heard from Rav Tursky Shlita, years and years ago. In the Perash Mishnayis, when the Rambam, it's in source number 6 for you, this is Gevaldik, when the Rambam writes for us, again, it's Tully in translations, but this is the good translation, when the Rambam describes for us the Yugim Le'ikrim in his Hagdamah, the Perak Chelek, in Sanhedrin, so the Rambam writes, the Yesod HaRishon is Mitzius HaBorei Yishtabach. The reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu existing and having created the world, correct? Mitzius HaBorei Yishtabach. Very simple. Okay. Yesod HaSheni, Achduso Yisala. Achduso is what we described until now, his oneness, his singular, incomparable oneness. Yisala. Okay, what changed? When we read Rambams, we don't think like this. What changed? Exactly. Not exactly the Shem Hashem, but the description of the Shem Hashem. Exactly. The adjective, as it were, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it's an interesting change. I mean, we've used them both in different contexts. Yishtabach means he should be praised. Yisala means he should be elevated. He should be elevated. So they're both true, and they're both appropriate, but why wasn't the Rambam consistent? Once you're saying Yishtabach, so then HaYisod HaShem is Achduso Yishtabach. Or if you want to say Yisala, so then say Mitzias HaBore, Yisala. Why did the Rambam say Yishtabach by Mitzias, and then switch to Yisala, the much less common appellation in the second case of the second Iker of Achduso Yisala? By the way, I noticed today for the first time, he uses the same terminology in Mor Nevuchim when he's talking about this Yisod. Why did he switch? So Yitachin Rutorsky suggested, amazing, that the Rambam is here hinting to us this Yisod. Mitzioso Yishtabach, let it be praised. Achduso, the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that singular, unique unity, oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisala, that is elevated. That's above and beyond this world. We can praise the Mitzias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. It's shayach, it's nitpas in our world to say, let it be praised. But the achdus of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the oneness, the singularity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is nis'ala. That's above and beyond. That's le'ela le'ela. That's beyond the realm of our understanding. It exists on a different plane. Achduso, yis'ala. It's above and beyond. It's too elevated for us to even understand. It's not ke'echad amin. It's not ke'shnayim. It's not like anything. It's nis'ala. It's above and beyond our comprehension. It's out of our world. Our job is to realize the impossibility of understanding that and simultaneously believe and accept it. We may never come to a full understanding. In fact, we're not spelling it out right now, but one iteration of this Yisod, we're guaranteed that we'll never fully understand. Much of it we will at the end of time, but much of it we won't. But even so, even with the le'ela le'ela, the yis'ala nature of this yediyah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this emunah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, afal pichein, it needs to be our emunah. We need to understand it as best as possible. We need to relate to it as best as possible. We need to accept it as best as possible. And we need to be mamin be'emunah shleima, that's true. Why is it so challenging? What's so hard? So just say that you believe that his oneness is above and beyond, and that it's different than anything else, and that it's a singular unit that can't exist in the world of science, in the world of physicality. So two points. One, that wouldn't be emunah. The Rambam in that same parak and elsewhere in Mor Nevuchim says emunah is not words. The same way in davening we say words without meaning is empty shells. It's like a guf without a neshama. So in emunah doesn't mean saying things. He says this explicitly. Too many people think this. It doesn't mean pledging allegiance. It doesn't mean memorizing the Yudgim L'Ikrim and saying them out loud. It means internalizing it. He said, hitztairus banefesh, I think is the Lashon. It means kind of almost depicting it in your soul and having a tfisa, having a connection to it on an intellectual, spiritual, emotional level. That's what emunah really means. So first of all, that is, it's nis'ala. To get the full picture of that is almost beyond our grasp. But even what we are able to ascertain, what we're able to fully understand, be cognizant of in this world, even that is so challenging for the following reason. We live in a world of good people and bad people, of success and failure, of life and death, of tragic calamity and the tremendous simcha, of cruelty beyond the imaginable, and kindness that's unfathomable. You experienced all of those things in the past week. So when we live in a world with so many different things, hanhagos, influences, factors, forces that are constantly bombarding us, so it becomes very challenging to take all of that as it hits you and say it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is it really? Yes. Is it really possible? The answer is yes. Is it really possible that the same Ribono Shel Olam that allowed for what happened last week also created a Olam Chesed Yibaneh that we witnessed over the past week? Is it really possible that the amount of death and destruction we've witnessed last week and throughout our history is also correlated with the beauty and the simcha and the thriving nature of our nation also throughout history? Is it really possible that the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that made me have a tough day yesterday made me have the best day today, or made my friend have a great day today when a tragedy happened to my family tomorrow? Are those all from the same? It's so different. They're such different experiences. Our perception of reality has so many disparate goings on that it makes it so difficult, so nis'ala, so above and beyond us to connect all of that to one source, to say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, in such a way that we're miyachid all of those things to one source, that there maybe there is one HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but maybe there are different moods, maybe there are different emotions, maybe there are different ways he reacts to the world, but we're saying, no, it's all one. There's a Yichud Hashem, an Achdus She'ein Kamohu, and we're supposed to relate all of that back to him. That is a very, very difficult task. The polytheists have it easy. They have a convenience. Whenever anything goes right, they can worship the God of good things. And whenever anything goes bad, they can worship the God of bad things. Meaning it's just depends on the day or whatever mood the God is in. The Maharal has in, I believe it's in Parshas Shoftim. No, it's in Nesiv HaDin, in Nesivas Olam. The Maharal has a comment where he says that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and that's why I said that in Parshas Shoftim, I think. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that we should worship him on a Mizbeach, on an altar, but not on a Matzeva. What's the difference between a Matzeva and a Mizbeach? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, not only shouldn't you worship me on a Matzeva, but it's disgusting, it's miyazdik, I'm repulsed by a Matzeva. Why? What's a Matzeva? What's a Mizbeach? So he says, a Matzeva is a slab of stone. It's one big rock, and you sacrifice the carbon on the rock. A mizbeach is many stones that are brought together to build a mizbeach, and you sacrifice the carbon on the mizbeach. The Maharal says gevaldik. He says that the goyim, they have matzevos. Why do they have matzevos? They have one rock who's this for the sun god, one rock who's for the rain god, one rock for the parnasa god, one rock for the for the wife god, one rock for the mistress god. They have a bunch of rocks, and each rock is designated for a different god that controls a different part of their life. And they can turn to each of those matzevos at any point. The Jewish people say, no, we have a mizbeach, not a matzeva, a mizbeach. All of those rocks, they come together. They're combined in such a way that we have one Ribbono Shel Olam that we worship on one mizbeach. A matzeva is disgusting because it separates, it divorces the different parts of our reaction, our perception, I should say, our experience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one from the other. But we don't want that. We want a mizbeach, that's miyached shem shemayim, that combines all of the parts, that says it's difficult, it's challenging, it's nis'ale, but we believe and we accept that it's all one mizbeach, one HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're worshipping, yichud Hashem and achdus she'ein kamohu. You have in source number 7, you'll read it on your own time, but Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch in his Chorev, so he has very beautiful lines about this, where he's discussing the mitzvos, various mitzvos of Tzukim HaTorah in the context of Chorev over there, various mitzvos HaTorah that are related to Avodah Zarah, and he says there's a more obvious Avodah Zarah of bowing down to some idolatrous god, lowercase g, and then there's a more, insidious, but also kind of like a subtle form of Avodah Zarah and Shittif that exists as well. A person can wholeheartedly believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu and a Ribbono Shel Olam that controls the world. He just also happens to believe that there's a force of nature, and there's geopolitics, and there's hurricane watches, and there's meteorologists that predict the weather, and there's a history that's on a certain course, and then there's politics that affect the history, and weather that affects the politics, and you could believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu side by side with all of those forces. And you have to think carefully if there haven't been moments in your own life where you can relate to what he's talking about. But says Rav Hirsch, the only way to relate to all the goings-on of the world, including the politics, including the weather, including all of the laws of nature, including history itself, the only way to relate to that is that there's one Ribbono Shel Olam who's sending us through agents of history, through agents of nature, through agents of politics, the events of our world. It's all one Ribbono Shel Olam. there is nothing else next to him, beside him, in addition to him, chas v'shalom. All of those forces that we perceive are the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world, but they're all directly from him. And Rav Hirsch, in a very jarring, scary line, says, and you should know, that if you have trouble believing that, if you do these things, if you believe for a second that there's God along with nature, there's God along with politics, there's God along with history, you sin against the law, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. That is a form of Avodah Zarah. It's a form of Shittah, it's a form of Avodah Zarah, it's a lack of Achdus. Because the one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in quantity. The one is the exclusion of anything else. It's everything is within and everything is from, emanating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Yichud Hashem really means. We began by wondering, the Rambam has such a focus on Yichud Hashem in the Hilchos Melachim, in the Yad, in the Igeres Teimon, in a few places. Why the focus on Yichud Hashem? Again, that Emunah is the call of the hour, we understand. That we have to be mechazik in all of the Yisodei Emunah, we do understand that. We get the Ikar Emunah are critical here. And we get how the enemies are attacking it, because we're the chosen nation, they hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they hate the Torah, and the only thing they can do is try to fight us. We get all of that, we accept all of that. But why dafka Yichud Hashem? Why is it al Yichud Hashem o'osam al-chama? Why not al Torah min HaShemayim? Why not al Mamsi kol nevra al schar va'onesh? So one layer, perhaps, given the understanding we just developed in the Rambam, one layer, one perspective, milchama, shmad, or in our case, milchama, what happens during a time in a tzara like this is that all of the forces of nature, all of the characteristics of human beings, all of the feelings of people, all of the politics, everything comes out at once in a flash, like a bomb goes off. Everyone here, I say this confidently, everyone here feels exactly the same way, maybe to varying degrees. You are not living right now in the same world you were living in 1 week ago. Physically you feel it, emotionally you feel it. Every person expresses it differently in terms of avodah, in terms of emotions, in terms of dealing with it. But we're living in a different reality, a different metzias. Why? Like, what changed? Okay, something big happened, but a lot of big things happen. They don't change us. And because we saw something we've never seen in our lifetime, the sheer, cruel, savage, brutal nature of the attack, the inspiring reaction of Klal Yisrael through Achdus, through Chesed, through Tfilos, not from becoming frum or taking on mitzvos, people who are tufrim, going ahead and giving of themselves to reach people who they usually wouldn't interact with in order to help the matzav. We've seen the highest of the high and the lowest of the low and literally everything in between in the course of 1 week. In a shas milchama, everything that's a stira to each other comes out at once. And it's dafka during the time of a shma, during the time of a milchama, where a person starts to wonder, is it really possible? Is it the same Ribono Shel Olam that I'm seeing when I look at the stories of what happened a week ago on Simchas Torah? As the Ribono Shel Olam, when I watch a video of the Chayalim with their snipers singing songs of Emunah as they get ready to protect the whole Klal Yisrael across the world, is that really from the same source? Could there be a yichud of those two opposites? Is that possible? And a person starts to wonder if you could really have an achdus like that. And the answer might be, I don't know. And the answer might be, it's above me. And the answer might be, this is beyond my intellect. But the answer certainly is yes. An imamin be'emuna shalema. Yes. There's an achdus. There's a Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. One. Singularly, uniquely, not like anything else. Can't even describe it, but it's all one. Al Yichud Hashem Hu Osa Melchama. That's the war we're fighting. We need to be mechazik ourselves, and as Bnei Torah, who have an ability to work on this an even longer amount of time during the day, and to focus on it more given our intensity and the focus of our schedule, we have to be able to work on it ourselves, and we have to be able, laharim kolchem be'emuna, to spread that belief to other people. That's our avod right now. To be mechazik in emuna amongst each other, k'tzaschem es k'tzaschem, and to take that emuna, laharim kolchem, to spread it to your families, to your communities, to friends who don't have the opportunity to learn like you do, to take the Yichud Hashem that we're fighting for, that Klal Yisrael is fighting for, That's the battle cry. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. To unify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in your heart, in your mind, in your life, and then to take that and spread it to the people around you. So we should daven that the avoda that we're engaging in now of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, should lead to the time when the Gemara describes that only La'asad Lavo, only in Olam Haba, only once Mashiach comes, will there really be Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, that his name should be fully unified, that the world should really recognize the oneness, the uniqueness of the Jewish people and the Jewish God, and we daven that day comes speedily soon, with Hashem.